we highlight the experiences and perspectives of women in midlife. I'm your host, Sherry O. Today, I'm really excited to have Charlie T. Savage. Love the last name. Love what you do. Hey, Charlie, how are you?
Hi, how are you, Sherry?
I'm good. So let's start with you telling the audience a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Okay, so like you said, I'm Charlie T. Savage. You can call me Charlie. My daddy usually calls me his favorite headache. I'm a New Orleans native, Navy veteran, a screenwriter and producer here in LA. My favorite title of them all, though, is mom. I have two little dudes, and they're amazing, the sweetest little things that you can think of. I don't know where they get the niceness from. But yeah, that's my, not for me, but that's my favorite title. So I spend a lot of time with them. I'm a avid reader. I love to read. If they're going to hide something, they're going to hide it in a book. So that's me in a nutshell.
All right. When I saw you on LinkedIn, I was like, okay, I have to talk to her because she calls herself annoyingly hilariously producer.
Yes, I'm annoyingly hilarious. So I founded Charlie Bit Me Joints back in 2021. And that's because my jokes are laughs that come with something a little extra, a little sprinkle. So I annoy the heck out of my friends and family. So the name originated from one of the very first YouTube videos that I can remember. I don't know if you remember it. It was when a brother put his finger into his little brother's mouth, and it was all fun and games until Charlie bit him. And it's kind of like, you know, a parallel for my take on Hollywood. You know, there's some tough messages that are hidden in our humor. And sometimes you have to hear these messages, and I like to laugh with a little laughter with my pain always eases it a little bit. So, and I tell a lot of dad jokes, and people don't like that.
Yeah. Well, you are a producer and a screenwriter, right?
Yes, I am.
I'm just going to ask, how was that writer's strike? And you're out there on the front lines, basically.
It's really tough because now jobs, it seems like 500 people are applying for the same job. But the writer strike and the actor strike, very necessary. They were attempting to... Writing is not an easy process. It really isn't. It takes a lot of brain power. It takes a lot of time. And you only really work half the year, especially when you're working in a writer's room. So you're working half the year. So it may seem like a lot that you get paid every week, but you have to spread that out over a year. And a lot of writers weren't getting paid what they're worth. And that's not fair. And on top of that, they were trying to take away, you know, some very important things for all the creatives out here. So one was AI. They wanted to be able to take a person's likeness and never pay them again. And a lot of people I know, especially, work as backup. They work as extras. So if they scan your face and use you as an extra, like for The Walking Dead, so to speak, they never have to pay you again. They pay you one time and you're done. And that's not fair.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. It's absolutely insane. And then for writers, AI, as far as like ChatGPT, they wanted to take scripts and just throw an idea into ChatGPT, write me a story about a little girl going through puberty. That's not fair either. Like you will not be able to keep your audience engaged that way. That's one, because though a computer doesn't go through real life experiences, but they were trying to put a wall up for creatives. And the strike is hard. It's really hard. It was hard.
Yeah. Let me ask you another question about that. Do you think that in the future, that, because, you know, sneaky. Do you think that in the future, there are other things you guys have to worry about, the writers and the actors? Or is there some kind of like backdoor thing that they maybe didn't tell you? You know, you say take a likeness or take somebody's idea and just throw it into ChatGPT. Do you guys worry about that at all?
I know I worry, because you throw 40 scripts into ChatGPT. Maybe not right now, but at some point, let's say everything that Shonda Rhimes has ever written, you throw all of her work in there. Now the computer has learned how this individual writes a script. What is that going to do for that writer or that creator? So I do worry about things like that. We've moved so quickly in technology over the last decade. Anything is possible. So that does worry me. I think as a creative, we just have to find ways of making sure that we stay too unique for a machine to replace us. I tell my friends and my peers all the time, we have to find diversity, uniqueness, stories that haven't been told. And that might alleviate that ChatGPT issue, at least for a little bit longer.
At least for a little bit longer. I can think about is the fact that maybe, like you said, you have a writer's room and there's like 15 writers. Now, do you only need four? You know what I mean?
So that was another issue with the strike. They were trying to make creatives, writers. Most writer rooms are 8 to 12 people. They were having some writer's rooms with 1-2 people. And they're having to push out the same 10 episodes as a room full of 12. So they have mandated minimums in the writer's room now because of the strike. So thank goodness for that.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about your writing process and the type of writing that you do.
Okay, so I am a writer. I am a creative that always, when I put my name on something, it has to spotlight the Black female experience. I don't care if I'm the producer, the writer, the PA, whatever. I don't like to go into stories that don't shine light on, you know, what I am. I was always taught to create from a place that you know, which is, I mean, I'm a Black woman in America. How much more do I know? Yeah. And I want, you know, the world to know stories that we don't usually hear on screen, being diverse, being unique. So as far as my writing process goes, I always start with what story haven't I seen? What story hasn't the world seen? And how can I give it to them in a unique way?
That's interesting too, because when this actually airs, it'll be a little later, but The Color Purple is still going to always be a relevant topic.
Did you see it?
I haven't seen it yet. I will.
Okay.
But again, I saw the first one. And that's super classic for me, super classic lines. And I get the stage play musical thing. You know, but at the same time, I'm like, story that hasn't been told, but it's been told. You know what I mean?
Over and over. Yeah. It's a unique perspective, this new movie, the musical. It's different. It gives, you know, younger generations a chance to enjoy it in a different light. I mean, a lot of people have seen The Color Purple and they don't relate to it. I think seeing characters that they have seen before makes it easier for them to be engaged. I did like it. I'm not going to lie. I almost got my thug card pulled because I kind of cried in a few spots. And I don't usually cry when I'm in the movie theater. And even in the first one, I didn't cry. So I was like, this perspective is different. There's a lot of things that were changed. The music was gorgeous. The creatives in the piece, they have their own story. So hearing Taraji's, you know, struggles with Hollywood and then seeing her work on screen, that really pulled emotion out of me. So I think that's where they were trying to go with the press tour, where they were trying to go with this new remake of it, to kind of get a new audience to see the same story in a different light.
Definitely, like I said, by the time I actually put this live or upload this, I would have seen it already. But it's just taking me a minute too, because like I said, it's like, am I going to? Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your process as far as like writing a script and then like, what do you do from there? do you have a treatment? How do you sell it? Do you self-produce? I mean, I know you self-produce, of course, but how do you distribute it? How do you go about that? What's the process?
Okay. So there, with my time being in LA, I've seen that there's so many different directions you can go in. A big one is selling your project. So some people write a script, they network or they dig on LinkedIn or word of mouth, and then they pitch their project and then they sell it. I don't like that process because that means you give all that creative control up. So if you wanted a Black female lead and that network says, nah, we decided that we want a white man to play this role and completely change your script. Now, that's not your script anymore. That's not the story that you originally want to tell. I'm not fond of that process at all. And another thing, and Hollywood secret here, so don't tell anybody I told you. A lot of networks will take your script and, for example, Power and Empire were on at the same time, right? Mm-hmm. Two Black casts, two Black families, strong atmosphere, strong family, Black families in strong positions. Now, they were on two different networks. One was on, network TV, one was on Star, on cable TV, one was on network TV. So let's say Empire was brought to Stars at the same time as Power. They may have bought it and shelved it just because they don't want a show that's similar in competition. So that's another pitfall of selling your stuff. They may just shelf it and no one will ever see it. So I like to produce my own things and make my own. Yeah, it's tough. It's rough. It's corporate greed, not gonna lie to you. So I like to produce my own stuff. I like to produce the works of other creatives that think kind of on the same, same path as I do. Because when I do go into pitch meetings and say, hey, this is my story, I want them to be well aware that I want to be a part of this process because it's a story that resonates with me somewhere. Like I said, I write from a place of what I know. So I want other people to know these things. So I write a script. I usually channel it through 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 so they can give me their take on it. A lot of people shut it down. A lot of people tell me, yeah, you might want to add this. Oh, this is amazing. And then I go into the because writing is rewriting. Then I go into rewriting processes. Once I get somewhat of a polished script, I go into creating a lookbook or a pitch deck. And then I start leveraging my network. Your network is your net worth. So I start sending out emails. Hey, I got this new project. Telling all of my friends, hey, I got this thing that I got going on. Developing an elevator pitch because everywhere I go, I tell somebody, hey, my name is Charlie. I've got this project you would love to be interested, you might be interested in. And that's how you get those meetings. And after you do that, then you can start the process of selling your piece or selling yourself as an EP or as a showrunner. That's pretty much the process.
So it sounds very involved. And it also sounds like you said, the idea of just selling your script. Some people that are just like, okay, I'm cool with just writing the script, selling it. I don't care whether they make it or not. Like,
right.
Is that a way to make a living as well?
Yes, it is. It is a way of making a living. I think some creatives are like, I just want to check. And that's every job. That's every field that you go in, no matter if you're a project manager or a bus driver. Some people are very passionate about their efforts in this world. And they will put all of their effort into it. And then some people are like, I just want to check. I don't care what you do with it. So there's nothing wrong with either process is how much effort you want to put into it. That's all that is. Mm-hmm. So you can make a living that way. It's kind of, I don't find a lot of writers that do that being seen on screen. They take their concept and then they make it into something else. So your name is not really attached to it. You're really just getting paid for an idea, which is cool. I mean, you get whatever pays the bills. Yeah. Yeah.
So how long have you been doing this? Just to kind of get a little bit of info. How long have you been doing this?
I have been doing this since, ooh, child. Okay. So I moved to LA in 2020 to officially start my screenwriting career. So about 4 years, a little under 4 years now that I've been in LA. I've been writing since I was about 12. I've written a couple novels. It's not for me. Very independent thing. Very in the dark, in the closet. And it's not a thing that I enjoy. Yeah. So I would say for a good 20 years now, I've been writing something. Something.
And that's interesting that you say that. It's not a thing that you enjoy because I think as writers, because I'm a writer too, but I'm not interested in screenwriting at all. Like I've taken courses and classes. It's like, okay, no. And then at the same time, I'm also really not interested in writing books. I'm more of a copywriter, straight, quick. I will do commercials. I will do small videos, copy. I will do stuff that you write for marketing and promotions. But I get it when you're like, eh, that's not really my cup of tea. And that's the thing I love about writing. It's so
So
many
broad,
different types of writers out there, you know?
And a lot of people, as a writer, you kind of have to be multifaceted anyway. You have to have a love for something else. So I do like writing copy because that's what pays me. I'm sorry. I hope you can edit that out. Everyone around here is getting sick, even my
I
kids.
can.
So
That's okay.
those little germ catchers have left all their germs on all of my furniture. Let me go back. So copywriting is another one that I like to do. I like to copyright because it's quick, it's fast, and it pays the bills. As a screenwriter, you have to have a lot of patience because it could take 2, 3, 4 years before you sell one piece. So you kind of have, if you do like writing or you do love that craft, you kind of have to love a little bit of every piece of writing. So I don't like to write novels, but if it pays my rent, I'm gonna jump on that opportunity.
It's just I have kind of a short attention span. So a lot of times you just have to keep going back and going back and stories change and ideas and it's like a lot of things that I write and I've come back or it's come back and somebody's like, oh, you did a great job. And I wrote it like a month or so ago. I'm like, did I actually write that? Wow, that is good. You know, they're like, I totally forgotten that it happened. Can't remember putting it together. But
It's like it's so quick. You don't put your it doesn't sit in your brain. So I get what you're saying. You're like, I wrote that? Wow. I'm
yes, this
good.
happens so much. So I mean, you haven't been out in Hollywood long though. That's actually pretty good that you've already got a network. How did you go about putting together or having putting together a network?
Before I moved to LA, another industry secret, don't tell anybody I told you. I went to every movie, every TV show that I ever watched, that I ever enjoyed, and that long list of cast and crew and all that other stuff, I wrote down all their names and I went to Instagram, Twitter, whatever platform I can get, and I followed every one of them. And then I followed the people that they followed. And then I started networking before I even got here. I started understanding their writing processes and things like that, what they how their network. So Hillman Grad, for example, is led by Lena Waithe. I followed everybody Lena Waithe followed because they're like, she follows like 200 people. 2 billion people follow her, but 200 people she follows. So these are the important people to her. Right. So now I'm going down and seeing who's a director, who's a cinematographer. What does cinematographer mean? Because I didn't know what that means at first. I didn't know what that meant at first. And learning these different types of people in their different roles, and then figuring out, okay, these people are going to this event. Maybe I should go to this event. And so once I got here, I started going to those events and just being confident in who you are, walking up, being strong in your demeanor, and saying, "Hi, my name is Charlie. I'm a screenwriter. I just moved here. I would love to give your take on this." I wouldn't offer them your script right away because that you want to build an actual relationship with these people. So it's baby steps. Find who you like and then figure out what
You
their
know what
writing
though?
style is.
You froze a little. You froze a little. Oh, so we'll see how that works. We froze a little. But you know what? That's actually a really, really, really good idea. The way you did it, just kind of actually making yourself knowledgeable about the industry or about the people in the industry before you get there. Because a lot of times people read their credits. I am a credit reader. My husband's like, why do you read credit? I'm just curious. It's important. I think it's just, I'm a credit reader. So just actually going down the list of the credits and checking people out and following, that's a really good idea, girl. Great industry secret right there. We didn't hear that from you. How about that? We didn't hear it from you.
No, not from me.
Let's see. What else did I want to ask you? I know you talked a little bit about your process with your script writing and leaning into the Black woman experience, because of course you are a Black woman. Do you ever, like when you're doing that, how is there a particular, I don't want to say genre, but you know, like you're funny, you're hilarious. Is it more comedic? Is it drama?
I think when I write, I lean towards dramedy. I want, like I said, I like to laugh with my pain because it's easier, the medicine's easier to go down that way. When I produce, it really depends. I recently produced this stage play called All Things Considered, and it was more drama than comedy, for sure. But it was telling the story of a Black woman that was progressing in an unconventional relationship with a lot of family secrets. And that's a story that needs to be told. She was actually from Jamaica, and the original screenwriter, or the original playwright, is also from Jamaica, and she's a very close friend. And it was a very interesting story that I wanted to see, and a lot of people wanted to see. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a specific genre, because I've written thrillers. I would never put those on screen because those are terrible. I don't know what I was writing. But it was a very interesting process. It's a very interesting process. I don't wanna put myself in a box. But I do lean more towards dramedy comedy than anything else. Did I freeze? Oh, I didn't freeze.
Yeah, you did. But the thing is, it'll probably catch up, and I'm going to have to clip this out. Whole side note that I'm going to have to clip out. This is not you. I'm so mad at Riverside right now. Like, you have
no Riverside.
This has been freezing up and all kind of crazy. But anyway, so next question. So being in Hollywood for only 4 years, which is actually great, and how has it been? I know making a change can be tough, and especially, you know, I focus this show on women in midlife, starting basically from 40 on up, because it's a time of life where we are making a lot of changes, whether we're moving higher up in our professions or whether we're kind of aging out. And when I say aging out of our professions, I mean, like, you know, you hit 50 or whatever, and people start, you know, restructuring the department and stuff like that. And so it puts you in a position where you start rethinking the things that you really want to do. How has that experience been for you? You seem to be on the younger side of midlife. But, like, just making the leap.
Ooh, kind of tough. So I did 9.5 years in the Navy, like I said. And then once I got out, I was completely confused at what I wanted to do with my life, as most people are. And I got into project management. And then I figured project management is not it. This is not me. And I just had to make that leap and say, this is what I wanted to do. It was really rough because it's a lot of things that you got to come to terms with. And one of those things is rejection, because there's always someone that has been in this a lot longer than you have. They have a lot more experience. And you know, the financial pitfalls, because it may take years before you sell anything, or you get into a writer's room if that's your thing, or you produce something because it costs so much. So I think it's a blessing, to be completely honest, because I know a lot, I've seen a lot of youngsters that come straight out of college, come to LA, and they're completely lost. They have nothing. And they have to have 17, 19 different roommates because they can't afford it out here. But as a woman on the, in the, you know, the transitioning age, I have a certain set of skills that I can be three different people at once. I can go work a project management job. I can do copywriting and I can work on my own, you know, pieces at the same time because I have all of that experience. So I don't see any negative to it, especially coming into an arena like this. You don't know when your next paycheck is coming. So I don't have roommates. I mean, I have kids, but they don't pay bills. So they don't count as roommates. Okay.
Cute little roommates. You get all of that, I guess.
The cutest little roommates that put their fingers on my walls with stickiness. They keep me company. Other than that, I don't have to have roommates because I can afford to pay my own bills. I can afford to live in LA without, you know, the support of family and friends and things like that. So I see it as a positive, especially when you're in this era. Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's excellent. What advice would you have, do you have for someone who may be listening, who has, you know, scripts in their closet, they've been writing over the years and they want to do what you've done? What advice would you, other than the secrets you've shared, what advice would you do, would you like to share with them?
Let's see. So definitely you want to network. So do it, just like I said, get on the internet, find out your favorite people, read scripts, good scripts, bad scripts, scripts of things you've never seen before, never watched, because it seems like an easy process, but there's certain structures for certain genres. And it's not just words on the page. There are different beats or different things that you have to hit in order for it to sound right. So read scripts and see how those work out. And I mean, not just your favorite movies, not just your favorite shows, but everything. Go on the internet and find scripts that don't work, that have never been seen on screen, so you can know what not to do. That's number two. Number one, absorb your favorite movies, absorb your favorite creators. Number two is read as many scripts as you can. Read books. I don't like suggesting writing classes because they tend to box you. And this is a creative thing. So maybe one class at the very beginning of your writing, you know, your writing journey, so you can know the structure. But don't lean heavy on writing classes. And then above all, you have to write. You have no idea how many screenwriters don't actually write because they're afraid. It's a fear thing. Yeah. Like they'll start. They're like, I got this amazing idea about this puppy with wings. And they never get to the final page and never get to the credits because they're afraid. That fear stops them from finishing, or they don't have a flushed out idea. So write, just write, even if it's bad, write so you can start those processes and practice and get used to writing a bad script and putting it to the side and coming back to it. So yeah, absorb, network, read, and write.
Wow. Those are great tips. Great, great, great tips. Before we go, one last question I have for you. What do you wish for yourself, for your, you know, just like you said, you got up, you made this move, you're making your dreams come true in LA at this point. But what do you wish for yourself at this point in midlife?
So I had a talk with God. God said, and he promised me a boat. So I know I'm not there yet. He promised me a boat. So other than the boat, I want to be able to be somebody's role model. I know that sounds a little small, but I do. I want somebody that can look up to me and say, hey, this is where I want to be. Hey, her stories have changed my life. her stories have changed my view on the Black female experience. That's what I want. Even if I don't make a dime, please listen, Jesus, I'm just kidding. Please pay me. But even if I don't make a dime, even if I don't make a dime, that's my number one thing, is to, the perspective of someone who looks at us in a negative light, or encourages a little girl or a little boy, and let them know, you know, you can make it. Like, I'm from New Orleans, and you know that, you know, when it rains and there's water that goes into the trash can, New Orleans is floating down there somewhere in the bottom of that trash can. That's where I came from, and I love my city, but that's where I came from. So I want, you know, kids of all genders, or both, all genders, all races, all religions, to know that you can make it to your dream. I never thought I would be here. I didn't even know how to properly read a sentence. I couldn't spell words with more than three syllables in them. So I didn't know I was going to be here. And I know there's some girl out there that's thinking the same exact thing. So that's what I want. That's definitely what I want.
I think that's amazing. I think it's amazing. I don't think that's small at all. You know, I don't think that's small at all. Well, Charlie, this has been an amazing and an awesome conversation. It really has. Yes. I mean, I've learned a lot. I remember years ago, I was like, oh, I'm going to go out to LA and be this big producer. But no, that didn't happen. And that was not my path to take, you know?
So you still can.
Well, no. I have different aspirations now. And that's the thing. That's why I said, you know, sometimes I did not do it because I just never did it. There was a plan in place. There was everything. And then lots of things happened. Car accidents, all these things just fell out of the sky where you're like, okay, I can't do this right now. So like I said, it just wasn't my path to take. And now that I'm older, I look at it like, you know what? I know where I am now. That was not for me, but I do admire that you're doing it. And it's awesome to me. So I do thank you for being a Mature Allure guest here on our podcast, and a great guest. If someone wants to get in touch with you, someone wants to see something you've done, how do they go about doing it?
You can always find me on Instagram at charlie.t.savage. LinkedIn, same thing, or my website if you want to contact me directly at charlie-.
That sounds great. Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, and thank you for having me. I know what you're doing. You're doing beautifully. So if no one has told you today, you're doing your thing. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you. I love that.
You're listening to the Mature Allure podcast. I'm your host, Sherry O. If you have a topic in mind that you'd like us to cover on Mature Allure, drop us a note in the comments or share it with us on one of our social media channels. Until the next time, remember, self-love is the key to unlocking the radiant allure that shines from within.